casseroles, those little dessert bars. Oh, those are yummy. I enjoy those little dessert bars, right? Maybe some fruit punch, maybe some coffee. And there is always, especially if you're at a Lutheran funeral luncheon, there is always, always, without fail, Jell-O. Right? Of some sort of shape or recipe, right? Always Jell-O. But you know, it's not just the food at a funeral luncheon, because it is a funeral luncheon. So there's also a lot of talk about the person who just died. There's memories, there's tears, there's laughter, nostalgia. You know, I think that there's a lot of Christians who treat the Lord's Supper as if it's the Lord's funeral luncheon. Have you noticed this? And maybe not because of the fried chicken and Jell-O, right? But they think of the Lord's Supper as a meal where we fondly remember Jesus. What a great guy he was, and the things that he said, and the noble sacrifice he made, and the promises that he makes to us. And we share a meal, and we have a meal like the one that he had with his disciples, commemorating his life and death, and remembering what he meant to us. But that's not what Jesus said his supper is, isn't it? What did Jesus say? He took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And what did he say? He said, "Take, eat, this what is my body." And then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them and he said, "What did he say? Drink of it, all of you, this what? Is my blood. This is my blood of the covenant." Covenant. Shed for you the forgiveness of your sins. The blood of the covenant poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now notice, Jesus did not say a single word about fried chicken or casseroles or even Jell-O. The Lord's Supper is not a funeral luncheon. That's why we call it the Lord's Supper. No, the Lord's Supper is the will and transfer of our Lord's inheritance. So what's on the menu? Bread and wine, body and blood. Hebrews chapter 9, we just read that a moment ago, says that Jesus' blood does three things. It ratifies, it proves, and it delivers. Has anybody here ever struck it rich because you had a long lost relative who died and left you a lot of money? Oh man, okay, I was really hoping I could talk to somebody after the service. All right. Jesus says, "This is my blood of the covenant." It's his last will and testament. It's the promise of the transfer of all of Jesus' possessions to you. Can you believe that? That his will and testament names you? It names you as the one who would inherit everything that Jesus has? That's what a will and testament is, that in the event of their death, you would get the inheritance promised to you. Jesus formally ratifies, he validates a new kind of relationship between you and God. And he signs and he seals it with his own blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14 says that if the old covenant in the Old Testament given through Moses made God's people his holy priests and his holy nation using the blood of sacrificed goats and bulls, well, how much more does the blood of the Son of God do? The blood of the Son of God is a new covenant that Jesus himself sprinkles on you to make you his holy person and to make you a citizen of his holy kingdom. So, dear Christian, here's the deal. Jesus gives you the riches of a clean conscience before God. You have it made. It's better than even if you had that long-lost rich relative that you knew nothing about who left you a lump sum of money. You've made it big. You have a clean conscience before God. Sprinkled clean by the blood of Jesus. You know what that means? You get to live large. No more going through life wondering where you stand with God. No more making deals with God. No more wondering if you're on his naughty list or his nice list. No more wondering if you've done enough. And it's not dependent on how you feel or what sins you're guilty of. That is no longer how your relationship with God works. You live under a new covenant, which means that the Lord himself sets the terms of your relationship with him. He has altered the deal, and he will not alter it any further. The Lord Jesus does everything necessary for you to be in a right relationship with God. And he makes a new covenant between you and God in his blood. Your entire relationship with God begins and ends with Jesus. Jesus says, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." And Hebrews 9, verses 16 and 17 says this, "For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive." So not only does the blood of Jesus ratify or validate this new covenant, this new way that your relationship with God works, but it also proves that it is in effect. You know, the only way that a will and testament goes into effect and that you receive the inheritance that's been promised to you is if the one who made it dies. So, dear Christian, how do you know that what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago is for you? Well, in his supper, Jesus gives you his blood shed on the cross, flowing from his spear-pierced side, poured out into the cup for you. His blood is the proof that He died for you. And you inherit from Him everything that He has promised you. The blood is the proof of your inheritance. And who does Jesus say that His blood is poured out for? Many. So, if you are among the many in need of Jesus' forgiveness, anybody here among the many who need Jesus' forgiveness? Congratulations, that means that you qualify. Indeed, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And that is exactly what His blood does. It doesn't just ratify the new covenant, and it doesn't just give you proof that Jesus died for you. His blood actually delivers the forgiveness and inheritance to you. Jesus' blood is the delivery mechanism of salvation. It's not just the price that was paid to ransom you from your sin. It's also what carries the payload of your salvation. You drink the very blood of the one who died and rose again. You drink the blood that has the power to bring the dead back to life. You drink the blood that is imbued with the Holy Spirit. So forget Flintstones chewables. This blood is the vitamin of eternal life. It's the medicine of immortality. That's why Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15 says this: "Therefore, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant." Dear friends, Jesus is not a dead benefactor. It's not as if He died and He stayed dead. No, He died so that you could receive the inheritance that was promised to you in the event of His death. But Jesus is risen, which means that He is the living mediator between you and God. And He keeps on giving you His crucified blood. And He keeps on giving you forgiveness again and again and again and again. "This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And by the way, did you catch what He said? It's not the feeling of forgiveness that you walk away with. And it's not the hope of forgiveness that you walk away with. It's the real thing. It's the forgiveness itself. It's the goods delivered, as real as the Amazon box that sits on your front porch. You actually have it in hand. Real forgiveness. Forgiveness delivered and received right now, bringing with it all of the riches and inheritance that it entitles you to: salvation and holiness, the right to be a child of God, to live forever in His presence, and to be a citizen in the new heavens and the new earth for eternity. Dear Christian, this is not the Lord's funeral luncheon. This is not casseroles and jello and fond memories. This is nothing less than the first course of the resurrection marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom. This is the crucified and risen Lord's Supper. And in it, we have one who gives a new covenant in His blood, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. So come and take and drink. In Jesus' name, amen.